goes on in verses 8 and 9 says, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, he's going to use a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. You ever been in a situation like that where somebody is sitting in a place of kind of, importance, I guess you'd say, and then they're asked to move to make place for somebody else? I mean, and because usually the person sitting there, not always, but usually they've sat there because they feel important. And now that's been a strike to the ego, as they say. Undeserved honor results in deserved shame. If you don't even really qualify for such honor, you ought to do this, not be running to it. How many of you heard of stolen valor? Got these guys running around talking like they served in Vietnam or more recent wars, and tell their claim to have this or that award given to them and everything. There's a Senator Blumenthal right now. That guy runs his mouth all the time. And every time I see him running his mouth, I'm thinking, how in the world, the place that elected you is morally bankrupt. Yep. To send someone like that to the Senate. And I guess it happens a lot. People are exposed for that kind of stolen valor. That's a really bad example of it. But don't seek out honor that you don't deserve. And hey, if someone tries to leap, I have people all the time. Reverend. Hello, Reverend. And I know you may know some preachers who go by that. You look at their Bible, it'll say Reverend so-and-so on the front. They'll have a nameplate, Reverend so. The Bible says there's only one Reverend. Okay. That's God.
Amen.
Do not call me Reverend. And the only reason I use the term pastor is because it is good to know who the pastor is in a local church for many reasons. But I don't take that title as, because the Bible says there are offices. But it's not a clergy class thing. I'm not above you.
Amen.
I mean, I am physically, but not in a spiritual sense. And I'm only above you right now because I'm teaching, and you know, most people like to see the person who's teaching them.
Amen.
I mean, I could go down here. Just so no one's offended by me being above you, I'm going to lower myself to your level. But that's another thing. Notice here, we shouldn't disrespect one another, but don't take yourself too seriously either.
Amen.
I mean, I could die right here in the pulpit, which I won't do because I don't want to upset you. But I could die right now in the pulpit. You know what? Your relationship with the Lord is not going to be changed one bit unless you do something.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Doesn't have anything to do with me. Your relationship with the Lord is with the Lord. So being humbled is not the same as being humble.
Yeah. Amen.
Because if being humble means you don't have to be humbled. Being humble means you don't elevate yourself. I know some of you heard this numerous times. You'll hear it numerous times. But that's why my face isn't on signs we make for this ministry.
Amen.
And you go to our website, the first thing, wouldn't it be great? Click bbfohio.com and the first thing pops up. You see that? That's what you get on some of the websites for these ministries and stuff. So be humble and you won't have to be humbled. And so then verse 10, he continues, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. See, be humble. That when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. I love this. He says, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee, meaning that you'll be honored. But when a guy hits the bottom, and you see him just, he's not joyful about maybe dancing, but you see him just stand up straight and ready to just keep at it. And that happened to me two big times in my life. Where I was hit, I hit rock bottom, and this is as a Christian. I hit rock bottom before as a Christian too. But as a Christian, people are still people. Amen. And they can still hurt you. And you can still end up, bam, down on your knees. And the first time it happened to me, a friend of mine says, well, look at it this way. It can only get better. And that may sound silly, but you know what? Yeah. I mean, there's only one way up from there.
Yeah.
And that's how your attitude has to be. You start where you belong and you don't elevate yourself. And God says, humble yourself before me and I will lift you up.
Amen.
And when God lifts you up, you don't have to worry about being let down.
Amen.
When men lift you up, watch out. What is it? Several preachers have said through the years, watch out for these people bowing down to you and telling you how wonderful you are, because what they might be doing is reaching down to pull the rug out from underneath you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's turned out to be true through the years. Don't risk embarrassment by being presumptuous. Wait for earned honor. Deserved honor. Some of us will wait till we're standing before the Lord, but you know what? That is when it really counts. We'll get back to that in a minute. Proverbs 27:2, it's a great memory verse. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine own lips. In other words, don't toot your own horn. Let somebody else talk about how wonderful you are. You may think you're wonderful. Well, you better, you know, God can fix that too. But if you're running around telling everybody how wonderful you are, you better watch out. Let somebody else talk about you. Don't be the one to toot your own horn. An opportunist usually loses. An opportunist. That's what he's telling people, not to be an opportunist. You know what an opportunist is? It's just somebody who, despite the means or whatever, they just are always looking away to make themselves, give themselves a leg up that they don't deserve. Always looking to, I mean, I've worked with people, when someone get fired, they'd be like, ooh. Why? Because it might open up something for them. I've even seen a couple of cases where somebody in the workplace died. And they were like, ooh, that's terrible. Like, you're a little happy about that. Wonder who they, yeah. Have they posted the job yet? But the opportunist usually loses opportunities. And again, in an eternal sense, they're going to lose out. The opportunist will lose out. So verse 11 says, for whosoever exalteth himself, I want you to read that with me again. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now we're going to see that's true in the here and now, and that's in the hereafter as well. Because this only really matters, I mean in an eternal sense, really matters at the judgment. Because even if it happens now, that'll play out in the judgment. So we said before, live your life for judgment day. If you live your life for judgment day, you're not going to do things like cheat and lie and steal. You'll never commit adultery. You'll never backstab and try to tear people down and all these things that you see Christians fall into the trap of doing. Why? Because they're not living for judgment day. They're living to satisfy the here and now, and that's where you get into trouble. Now Jesus turns his attention toward his hosts, the Pharisees. Look in verses 12 and 13. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. In other words, if you want to really serve the Lord and get reward for it, don't just always just invite friends over. Make room for somebody else. Look at verse 13. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Now, It also, again, remember, don't toot your own horn. So after this is over with, don't start telling everybody how many times you fed people that, you know, and you had some lame guy over at your house and all that. Don't. God sees it. And so we look around, we may not realize there's people in this room who do this. I can tell you there are. And I can tell you as a church, our church family, we strive to do that. But consider the point, it's not really about food, although it can be. It's not always about food. I always warn you, you see the guys on the street with the cardboard box? A lot of those guys are making more money than you.
Yeah.
And if you want to know if they really are in need, offer to take them to a place where they get help. They'll run. I've been doing it for 30 years. I have only on one occasion, one time, had somebody on the road with a cardboard box with handwriting on it take me up on the offer to get him help. And charity mission is where you can send them if they really want help. We support charity mission down in West Broad. Jessica?
I saw one this morning standing out, and he had a homeless sign, but he had a cigarette.
Yeah.
So he can afford a cigarette.
Yeah.
Homeless.
Now, you know, it's a possibility, but just to be, you know, real, it's possible someone gave him that. But not likely. It's all about serving. If there's one thing you're already saved. You know, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. Once you're saved, it's about serving. I had a mentor years ago. People say, "How you doing?" He'd say, "I'm saved and serving. Saved and serving." That's what really all of us, we don't have to say that necessarily, but that's what our attitude should be. Saved and serving.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus is trying to point out here. Look outside your own little world and reach out. You see that word in there? Reach out. Outreach. Scripture with Scripture. Jesus left home to provide for our salvation. You know where Jesus' home is? A place that's so amazing that they just call it glory. And he left that home to come down here and be treated like human trash by a lot of people in order to save you and take you back home with them. Think of that. Let's look over at 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, the little epistle, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, and 1 John. Chapter 3. You've heard of John 3:16. Well, this is 1 John 3:16. I'll read that. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Did you get that?
Amen.
Verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Isn't that something? Now, we live in such a prosperous country right now. It's almost hard to find people who need a coat. You can go downtown and find some homeless people sometimes that need coats, but even most of them, they're given coats and, you know, don't just pile it on just so you can feel good about yourself. Find somebody who is really in need. Don't be an enabler.
Amen.
But if they're really in need, don't miss the opportunity. Offer them food, and if they'll take you up, buy them a dinner. But a lot of them don't want that. They want for the drugs or whatever. But there are some out there. And what you have to do is be what they call do your due diligence, to talk to them and assess and pray for discernment. And if you see the opportunity, do something. But don't ever do that deed without offering them Jesus. You should always offer them Jesus. Look at verse 18. Read the 18, 19 with me. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. You want to know if you're right with God? You believe the gospel, you know that, but are you right with God? If you're right with God, you're looking for others to serve.
Amen.
We never mean to offend you on purpose. But if you're not looking around, trying to find people to minister to, you're not really right with God. Get right with God and say, God, open my eyes to anyone, anywhere that I can minister to, and let me never not give them Jesus.
Amen.
It really is so easy for us to do today. Just think about it. We mentioned, if you want to help, you can, I always say, over and above the regular tithes and offerings, we have to pay the bills. But then you can give money and mark it to charity mission. And we give a small monthly amount, and we're going to take up a December collection and give it to them after the new year to help them get started in the new year. And they take people off the street, and they help them. They begin with the gospel.
Amen.
There are some of these ministries who will feed people and give them coat and gloves and all that, but they do not tell them about Jesus. And what a shame. Making the world a nicer place to go to hell in. We want to give them, don't tell them about Jesus and then not give them a bite to eat or a coat or whatever they need either. There's no reason to have one or the other. You can do both. But every time you go through that drive-thru and those people who are making peanuts and usually being worked to death, they are not allowed to take tips most of the time, but you can give them a gospel tract. But if you are being served and you don't tip 20%, shame on you. Christians shouldn't be tightwads.
Amen.
And give them a tract with your 20% tip. If you don't tip, don't dare leave a tract and embarrass Jesus.
Amen.
And I've seen Christians do that through the years. Guy have a $100 food bill, and he leaves a $2 tip with a gospel tract, and the waiter takes it back and throws it right in the trash. I don't blame her. What happens when you minister to those who cannot return the efforts? That's another thing. Don't be doing this to get something back. Luke 14, 14. Going back to Luke 14, 14. Read that with me. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I was a 19-year-old kid, lost, and I got saved.
Amen.
And I was, not because of anyone, I had people who loved me and would help me, but I had burned some bridges. And I had a preacher give me $800 to buy a car and didn't ask for it back. Now, my parents would have done that, would have helped me, but I was too proud. I didn't want to go back and admit to the people who loved me and would have helped me that I'd ended up, I was homeless. I was living in my car. They didn't know that until later. And then when I got saved, this guy saw my need, preacher, gave me that money. I tried to pay him back. I tried to pay him back. He wouldn't take it. Now, I'm not telling you don't take it back. If you help somebody and they say, you know, I'm doing good now and I want to, you can take this money and help somebody else, do that. That's fine. But in this case, he wouldn't even take it back. You talk about, you know, I needed that because a year and a half, 2 years later, I was under another pastor who was pretending to care about me and to take me into the ministry and mentor me. And he got caught cheating on his wife with his secretary. But I'd seen what a real man of God is like. So when that happened to me, I decided from this point on, it isn't going to be about me and somebody else other than Jesus.
I love you, but if any or all of you turn your back on the Lord, I'm not going with you.
Amen.
Me and Jesus first.
Amen.
And then y'all are a wonderful blessing, icing on the cake, most of the time.
Our reward is with the Lord in the life to come. That preacher knows where his reward was. That's why he didn't want the money back.
Amen.
And if you have that attitude, I always joke about preaching life-changing sermons, and some people have heard so many life-changing sermons, they don't know who they are anymore. But this one point is repeated through the Scripture, and if you don't get it and don't get it, when you finally get it, it will be life-changing.
Amen.
The wise hold to the eternal perspective. The more you can train your mind and heart to think on things in the eternal perspective. I am not standing up here saying, be like me, I've licked this. Many days, many times, I have to remind myself of this very thing. We're all fallible. We're all going along this journey and helping one another along the way. But we all need to be reminded of this, starting right here.
Amen.
Keeping the eternal perspective. Now, we read this in yesterday's BBF Bible Calendar daily reading, and I want to close with it. Go over to Daniel chapter 12. We're printing up new Bible reading calendars. It'll be a little easier to follow and a little shorter readings next year so everyone can keep up a little easier. But in yesterday's reading of the past year's Bible reading calendar in Daniel chapter 12, I listened to my wife read this part. We go back and forth and take turns reading together. And as she read this, I thought, wow, I've got to add this at the end of the study. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Starts by saying, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Matthew 24, Jesus will predict the same thing. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Revelation 12 tells us that story. Everyone that shall be found written in the book, it'll be one-third of the Jews who start out in this time of tribulation. Now read verses 2 and 3 with me. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Are you wise? Then you are going to be living your life to minister to others. And you will shine as the brightness of the firmament. You know what that means? You go back to Revelation 1 and elsewhere and you'll see Jesus described in his glory. He shines. You go back to Revelation 19 through 21, you'll see he's called the Lamb, and he walks among men, and he is the light thereof.
Amen.
And then the Bible says this amazing truth. If you're a saved child of God today, the Bible says when he returns, we will be like him.
Amen.
We will be like him. You ever heard somebody say, you got a glow about you? That's kind of figurative, but in the future, that's going to be literally true.
Amen.
You're going to have an eternal glow about you. You're going to shine. And you're going to exude the light of God as the brightness of the firmament. And look what it says. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Every time you tell somebody about Jesus dying for their sins and being risen from the dead, conquering sin and death, you are turning them to righteousness. Whether or not they receive it and are saved, that's between them and God. If you are telling, I don't care if you tell 10,000 people and none of them get saved, you have still turned 10,000 people to righteousness.
And so, see, you get no, over and over, you give up. But if you can put on the eternal perspective and realize God's pleased every time, even if they say no.
Amen.
And you're going to have a great reward if you just keep at it. Amen. Even when they say no over and over. Just like they did to Noah. Which, by the way, Jesus said in the last days it would be as it was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
They said Noah to Noah. That wasn't my joke, sir. That is true of any believer living in any dispensation, by the way, including us.